and experiencing difficulty in getting fresh food to our children, even though with our education privilege and knowing how to farm and navigate the system, you know, you'd think that that should be simple. But there are no supermarkets, no public transportation, no farmers market, so it was very challenging. And when our neighbors found out that we knew how to farm, they really encouraged us to start Soulfire, you know, a farm for the people that would bring food to the block. And so I think because of firsthand experience and also because of a deep love and caring and relationship with people also struggling with food apartheid is what motivated us to try to limit the transportation barrier for people.
That's terrific. And I know that Soulfire has been involved in advocating for food stamp use in CSA purchases.
It's true. Yeah, we do, of course, accept EBT and food stamps. And in addition to growing food and making sure we get it to those who need it in our community, we're an educational farm. So we're right this week, we have 30 new and beginning farmers on the land here for a week-long residential course called BIPOC Fire, Black Indigenous People of Color Farming in Relationship with Earth. So we do a lot of programming, and we also do a lot of advocacy towards reparations of land and resources and towards fair laws. One of the laws that's not super fair is called the Farm Bill. It governs the whole food system, and it's made it really hard for so-called food stamps or EBT to be used by the people who need it. And so we've gotten involved and helped to make some small changes in the right direction, including allowing CSA farms to be able to accept EBT, which, you know, prior to the last Farm Bill, that was not permissible.
That is such a great step forward. As for people in the area to get more involved in Soulfire, I know you have community days. When is the next community day coming up?
That's a great question. I have to check my own website.
You should go to
soulfirefarm.org /volunteer, and you can find the dates for all of our monthly community farm days.
And these are days when people can come out to the farm in Grafton and participate in work on the land in indefinite projects and just experience the sense of community that you guys are building.
Absolutely. We have a ton of fun. We spend the whole morning breaking up into teams and doing projects, and you can choose your level of intensity. It's a great way to get to know people from all across the region and get to know this beautiful land. Then we have a huge, beautiful potluck buffet lunch and a tour and Q&A. So if folks are interested in learning more about Soulfire, it's a great way to visit.
That's terrific. Thanks so much, Leah Penniman, for taking a moment during a super busy time to talk to us about the great work you're doing to making sure that food is a right.
Well, thanks for having me and for making space for this important conversation.
Sure. Let's have more. This was Amy Halloran with another Food Diary.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acre.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots
Phoenicia.
Of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati. Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and to online use? At WGXC.org.
Yes.
Come on up and
tune in and turn out for a live broadcast, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th, during WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive from Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter. You can become a standing supporter at the door or increase your current monthly donation, and your first drink is on Scribner's. Beer and wine purchases during the event benefit Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM and the Testify Pledge Drive. Turn out, take in the view, check out this exceptionally designed and appointed spot at the Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter, and raise a glass for radio for open ears. Attendees are asked to make a sliding scale contribution, $5 to $10, or become sustaining supporters at the door. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Come on, Raymond.
the genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Science of Aesthetics Laser and Med Spa, offering a wide variety of multifaceted cosmetic services at 810 Union Street in Hudson. Consultations are available. Information at 518-697-5390 and scienceofaesthetics.net.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelius Eady of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Capstone Radio. Welcome to Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. That was Emergency on Planet Earth by Jameer Akoi.
We're here in front of our studio audience, preparing to bring you the Word Shop. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Brand. Mike DiSocio of the Albany Business Journal reports that the confidence of consumers in the economy in New York has fallen sharply in 2019, according to a poll by the Siena College Research Institute. The economic measure has dropped sharply for three quarters, and New York's consumer confidence rating is 11.1 points lower than the nation's index. Doug Longstrom, professor of statistics and finance at Siena College, said in a press release, and I quote, "Perhaps driven by news of tariffs, trade wars, stock market volatility, or the start of the 2020 campaign, a shrinking plurality of New Yorkers now say they are better off financially today than they were a year ago," end quote. New York Republicans and men have much higher consumer confidence than Democrats and women, according to the poll. Read more about the poll results in the Albany Times-Union. Steve Hughes reports in the Albany Times-Union that 849 criminal convictions in Albany County and 218 in Rensselaer County will be sealed after a new law passed in the state legislature easing some convictions for unlawful possession of marijuana and fifth-degree possession of marijuana. How that will actually happen is still a point of debate. Lucian Chalfin, a spokesman for State Office of Court Administration, said, and I quote, "Currently, we do not have a method for expunging of criminal records. We are talking about hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million criminal records to be removed from our database," end quote. Now, state law mandates arrestees in possession of an ounce or less of marijuana now get a fine up to $50, and possession of between 1 and 2 ounces could result in a fine of up to $200. The law takes effect 30 days after Governor Cuomo signs the bill, which he is expected to soon. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Albany News 10 reports that Representative Paul Tonko donated 32 surplus books from the Library of Congress to the Red Bookshelf in Albany. The Red Bookshelf has 19 stationary bookshelves and a mobile bookshelf in the Capital Region. The group says that so far this year, it has delivered 50,000 children's books to community locations. Tonko said, and I quote, "A group of volunteers repairs the books, makes certain that they're well mended, that they're cleaned and made available to our children. Studies show that if there's books in the home, children are more likely to be at their reading level," end quote. Read more about this story at the Albany News 10 website. Debbie Mayer reports in the Columbia paper that there is now a drag queen story hour in Kinderhook and a drag queen story time in Hudson. Anna Lee Giraldo, director of the Kinderhook Memorial Library, said, and I quote, "They read stories from books on anti-bullying, on inclusivity. They sing songs, do a craft. It's very much what we do in any story hour," end quote. She also said, and I quote, "Kinderhook has a growing LGBTQ population. They had always been part of the larger community, but now we have an even more diverse population. A lot of LGBTQ people grew up here, felt they had to move away, and now feel that they can come back. These are for people in their 40s, not retirees." The library's Board of Trustees got a petition with 70 signatures, 25 from within Kinderhook and Stuyvesant, and 10 to 15 negative comments. But the board backed the program unanimously. Drag Queen Story Time has been at the Hudson Library since 2017. Program Director Brenda Schufelt said, and I quote, "We're glad the national organization exists, but we wanted to do our own thing," end quote. So they changed a word in the title. Hudson Library's only complaint about the program was when they scheduled a drag queen story time for Flag Day, which the library says they will not do again. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend. Now, here is your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather update. A mostly sunny Friday afternoon is in the forecast with a temperature high near 96 degrees and a south wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. There'll be a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 10 p.m. tonight, then a slight chance of showers after 4 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 71 and a south wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Your forecast for the weekend, showers and thunderstorms on Saturday, mainly after 2 p.m., and some of those storms could produce heavy rain with a temperature high near 84 degrees. On Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms again, mainly before 8 p.m., It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 66. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. So there you have your weather update, brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdemar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
They are selling the rain.
They're leasing the river.
They are auctioning off the oceans to the highest bidders.
As giant chunks of the polar ice caps dislodge from the North Pole,
and tourists flock to the site to take pictures.
There is disaster tourism.
Like this disaster profiteering.
Off the torrential storms.
And the warring.
And the wrath of global warming.
Who will get paid to rebuild?
And who will they build for?
Who will endure the drought and the rain?
Who will be safe inside and indoors?
Who makes the missiles?
The smart bombs.
The rockets.
Who gets raided?
Who gets paid?
From whose pockets?
Who gets sent off to war?
Who dies for whose profits?
Who gets remembered?
Who's been forgotten?
Who paved concrete
over the pores of the earth to make our lives harder?
And built buildings to scrape skies, trying to get closer to God,
but moved farther.
Our history's
been lost to forgetfulness,
erased by the frontiers of manifest destiny.
As if destiny were man-made
or manifested
in the hands of colonial planners
who build their thrones atop the remains of nations like gravestones.
Celebrate Columbus Day with clearance sales
to buy up stuff to cover up that which cannot be bought or sold, only stolen,
like breath or life or home.
Or an entire people who once believed that land could never be owned.
And the ocean is worth more than gold.
And water cannot be held captive.
It will reshape even stone.
And even when the last tree stands alone,
it still makes a sound
long after it's fallen.
In a forest that lived even if no one saw it,
and fed the world its breath, whether or not we applaud it.
One hand clapping sounds a lot like the rhythms we lost in generations who sang even as they departed.
Our great-great-grandmothers and fathers
foretold this time of extinction and slaughter,
where we decide between drought
and drowning in water,
or rising like mist
from rivers toxic,
with dreams to be clouds that give birth to rain water
and fall pure
to the earth to quench this thirst we've forgotten.
In the hallway life brought us to this crossroads of lost hope and undeniable promise,
where we choose between paths
beyond rightness or wrongness
that will lead to the brink of the planet's exhaustion
or the age of compassion,
where the meek become strongest
and re-inherit the earth
and redefine.
You were just listening to They're Selling the Rain by Climbing Poetry. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, presenting 1 hour of the Word Shop. I'm here today with me, myself, you know, Phoebe and Shahi. You know, it's like his third time on the show, so, you know.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
We got Kingston.
And our sound engineer, Kingston, right over there.
Yeah. Props.
And studio audience over there, if you want to say hi.
We're looking at Juicy Ray.
Just say hi.
Oh, so quiet around the radio.
She waved.
Yeah.
She waved. That's the point.
So, this is our... Oh, yeah, before we drop in, all views expressed by the folks here on Clubhouse Radio are just our truth. They may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So, with that, Word Shop, environmental justice. Excited to have you both here to talk about it and stir. Yeah. We just listened to a pretty loaded song about environmental justice.
Song was kind of creepy.
Was it creepy?
But it was like, I can't put it in words. Like, it was, I thought it was going to be like an actual song. Like, I'm not saying it wasn't a song, but like, I thought there was going to be like, it was going to be like a song, like a music in the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's upstairs.
I thought there was gonna be like music in the background and like a beat,
like a song.
Like when she talked, it was kind of like,
yeah, that was more. It was kind of like a more creepy kind of vibe, but you know they got their point across.
Yeah, like,
well, climbing poetry are spoken word performers and poets, and so clearly that genre crosses into like music, as you know, but it is its own form. So I think that's what you experienced, like that was and very much the performing of that on stage is really powerful, right? To be able to kind of flow through all those lyrics and weave that story together through spoken word. So yeah, it has a different sound to some of like all the music we listened to last week on Censored. But that's intentional because the Word Shop's where we get to break down poetry and spoken word. What in that song stood out to you or hit you or resonated for you when you think about
that stuff? Water could not be contained. Mm-hmm. Who will be remembered? Who will be forgotten?
Mm-hmm.
Who will get raided?
Mm-hmm.
Those were a couple that I remembered.
Yeah.
That was like the first one I remember.
Who will get raided? Oh. Yeah. Three that I got was like, who will give pay to rebuild and who dies for whose profit?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think what I really appreciate about climbing poetry and what they've put together is like really helping to define environmental justice, you know, in a more holistic sort of way. Like, I think there's, and this is, you know, somebody asked me, like, what does environmental justice mean, right? Is that the same as environmentalism? And I think of environmental justice as a specific frame for looking at what's happening with the earth that takes into account, like, social, political factors that are impacting why we got into this crisis in the first place, and also these things that they're asking, like who's gonna get paid to fix this, who's actually gonna make it through, who's gonna be forgotten, and those things come up all the time. They redid this piece, I remember, after a lot of the flooding in New Orleans and after Hurricane Katrina, and talked about how all these different companies from outside New Orleans were coming in and basically profiting off of this disaster happening. And then there were folks who literally never got access to come back to their homes again after those floods happened and had to be completely displaced. And so, you know, there's this whole social way in which environmental issues play out. Look at like where water poisoning is happening in the world, right? Mm, and the whole crisis in Flint, Michigan. You know, who gets impacted by this and who's profiting from it is a pretty gross thing when you start to look at it. But.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
One thing that we were looking at last time was, what was it? It was Nestle. Nestle, yeah, like the water company. You know, the people who make your nice chocolate chip cookies and other things like that. Willy Wonka bars and...
Don't be fooled, though. There's a darker
Nestle Crunch? Like,
yeah, like the chocolate company.
That's that same company.
Are the ones bottling up a bunch of water and selling it. And the ways in which they get that bottled water is draining the aquifers in California and other places and just contributing to all of these issues around drought. And, yeah, so they are selling the rain, right? That's who they're talking about. And who actually sells it, right? Those corporations have to get access to those rights through governments. Right. So it is the American government, whether that's the state of California right. or the federal government or even locally, who gives access to those companies. Those companies have a lot of power. So I was excited to see just recently in Catskill that there was like a big company that wants to come in and do like a toxic ash dump, like right on the river. And people really spoke out about it because the town was planning on saying, yeah, come in. We want development. And people were like, can we not? So your voices matter in this in terms of influencing how much power these corporations have. But anyway, we'll stay in the theme of spoken word and poetry and creative writing and rapping and making amazing things. Shahi, you want to work with the prompts? Can you tell the audience what you were working with, kind of the prompt that got you to this point?
Oh, yeah. I was working on... what do I remember about our Earth? And I am going to be rapping on a beat that I chose myself.
Freestyling.
Yeah. 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 Our Earth, our truth. We all know it's our truth. Our Earth is truth. We can be a truth. No, my fault. It's our truth. The Earth keeps us in truth. The Earth keeps us in check. So we do, it's our life. We gotta protect our Earth. If we don't, it might just die. We got happy times, we got sad times, but we got Earth, we don't die. We got the Earth, don't cry. We got the Earth, don't die. We got trees, we got paper. If you cutting trees with paper, no, my fault. No more paper. Dappin' off those sheets of paper. No, my fault. We got dead bodies. We got dead bodies going to concrete. No, my fault. We just dead body concrete. Yeah. Yeah. Dead bodies turn to compost. No more dead bodies. Compost. No, my fault. Now it's compost. Now it's really just compost.
Don't use fossil fuels.
Don't burn bodies. Don't make them in the...
Feed them to pigs.
Yes.
Don't feed them to your pigs.
don't make them the compost. That's all we're asking.
please, make our Earth a better place. Don't litter. Please recycle.
If you see trash, pick it up.
Help the Earth. You see a cigarette butt, please pick it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It helps a lot without smoke in the air.
You know.
Killing us, our trees.
You're hurting the environment.
Like, please stop cut down some trees, but not a lot.
Yes, please just leave us our trees. We want to breathe.
They help us a lot.
Don't kill our animals. Turtles are dying, choking on plastic. And it's not good. Don't throw your bottles in the water.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, Word Shop, Environmental Justice. And if you were lucky enough to have been listening with us for the last couple bit of time, you just heard Shahi lay it down.
Yeah.
How'd we talked about feel? Our turtles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
William, Shahi, dropping in some real knowledge. How did that feel using that prompt to like actually get into the feeling for yourself of what?
It felt good. It felt
fun.
Cool. I kind of digressed a little bit in the trees, but that's That's our
subject. Kind of want to log deep on the trees part. then I started mentioning a whole bunch of other things
like animals,
like killing the animals, like in our water when people litter and stuff. Yeah. Like I seen this video, like there was this turtle and he was choking on plastic, and like the animal people saved him because like they got the plastic out of his throat and stuff, and then they set him free.
I mean, I want to bring it back to the original kind of prompt that Shahi was responding to, which is, what do you remember about the Earth? And, what did that question bring up for you?
So, like, how, like, there's, like, there's good part of the Earth, but there's also a bad part of the Earth. Like, how, like, in the good part of the Earth, there's, like, flowers, blooming flowers, roses, people picking up roses, but then, like, in the bad part, if, like, let's say a person picked a flower, like a rose, to give to someone, and that would be killing the plant, like, then that would be bad. And on top of that, like, you know, like let's say, like, TV shows and stuff like that, like, when people die, even in real life, when that body, like, deteriorates, it turns into, like, compost for, like, the trees and stuff.
Yep.
And plants. And then, like, sometimes, like, the skeleton, like, that is now compost, it will, like, grow within, like, the tree will grow within the skeleton. And then, yeah, like, it's like a skeleton tree kind of thing.
They turn into fossil fuel.
Yeah.
My friend.
All things do eventually. Like, yeah, that's where oil came from. It's like old cycle. Dinosaur bodies.
Yep. Turn straight into oil.
Takes a long time to make that, though. And
yeah.
I was really struck when you were doing your piece and talking about, like, bodies in concrete versus bodies composting, and, like, that comparison. And, like, that really struck me. And Clang Poetry had also used the reference to concrete, I think, right, in their piece. Mm-hmm. Paving concrete over the pores of the earth. And what you're describing in, like, the compost bit, for me, is about, when we think of the earth as a living being, there's like we are all part of this basically huge soup of life-making ingredients that is the earth. And so when your body just starts to decompose in this form, yeah, it's feeding all these other forms of life.
Right. Because we're in a soup.
There's kind of like one of like the beautifully violent things about the earth, right? It's constantly killing and recycling and reusing things. And so the earth is not a passive place where everybody just kind of like, yeah, this is, you know, like things eat each other and like die and blow up, but that's like part of the natural, like, beauty. And this, yeah.
Okay, so like what Shahi was saying about like somebody could be like picking like a flower and to like to give to like their girlfriend or like just like their best friend or their mom. And, you know, that flower could have died like the very minute like that they left, you know. Yep, just straight off, and that flower's dead. But nobody really looks at it as a problem, because if it keeps happening and it continues to happen and people are just pulling flowers off of plants and just throwing them on the ground like it's nothing, then why should we be getting other good things from the earth that people take the time to actually like make gardens and full on things like that when people are just gonna destroy it in the end? It's just a waste of time.
But each...
Go ahead.
So, like, something I always wondered is that, like, when, like, you know, like, when it's, like, a wedding and, like, someone gets, like, a bouquet and, like, they throw the bouquets. Right. So, like, those are, like, live flowers. So, like, something that's always gone through my mind is, like, how does that work? Because, like, if those are live flowers, how are they not dead immediately? Like, if it's, like, a bouquet.
Well, when any thing dies, right, it takes a minute to decompose, right? So the flower, in some ways, the flower is still alive, right? Like, you know,
after effect.
But I think this question of, like, you know, what does it mean to take or have, like, it's about relationality. So a flower, one single flower, is part of an organism of seeds and roots and multiple flowers and all these things. So if you pick a flower for your loved one, you're not necessarily hurting the overall organism. If you clear cut and decide to mow your whole yard, that's a different sort of thing. And then you're keeping it from the butterflies and the pollinators. Like when we, like, so I think the impact of our actions make a huge difference. And, but yeah, there's this way in which we can still have like a giving and taking, be part of that cycle of life and death that is Earth, and still be in a place of respecting what it takes for that cycle to continue going.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Maybe okay. Ready for a break.
Break?
Uh-huh.
See you guys when we come back.
Yeah.
You may play the race horses. You may own a racetrack. You may have enough money, baby, to buy anything you like. Don't care how great you are. And I don't care what you were. Cause when it all ends up, got to go back to Mother Earth. You may high-hat me all the time. You may never go my way. But Mother Earth is laying for you. That's the debt you got to pay.
You're listening to Clubhouse Radio. William and Shahi signing off.
Yep.
Bye, guys. Yeah, yeah.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado was confronted during the Socrates Independence Day parade by supporters of President Donald Trump in an, and I quote, unnecessarily aggressive, end quote, way, according to an Ulster County official. Ulster County Assistant County Executive Daniel Torres said, and I quote, "They were just mocking him, and I thought it was not in the spirit of what today's parade was. And I thought it was an unnecessarily aggressive thing to have done to a representative, no matter what your party is," end quote. Torres said there were four or five Trump supporters who seemed to be harassing Delgado, and there was definitely a racial component to the harassment. Torres said Delgado handled the incident in a, and I quote, a very professional, end quote, manner. When asked about what happened, Delgado did not specifically confirm that he had been surrounded. Asked if there was any aggression involved, the Rhinebeck Democrat quickly replied, and I quote, not at all, not even a little bit, end quote. Evander said Trump 2020 banners were popular during the parade. She added that people in Socrates did not give her as much grief about them as in other communities. She said, and I quote, "I sell a lot here. It's different from town to town, but this happens to be a Trump town, I think," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Kate Lisa is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. Columbia Green Community College President Jim Champion, 68, the college's fifth and longest-serving president, retires July 5th after 19 years of service. Champion spent a total of 51 years in the SUNY system between his education and career, earning an associate degree in liberal arts from Dutchess County, from Dutchess Community College, a bachelor's degree in English from SUNY New Paltz, a master's degree in educational administration, and a graduate certificate in autism studies from SUNY Albany. He has served in the Columbia Green administration since 1974. The Hyde Park native said of his departure, and I quote, "It's bittersweet. I've made a lot of friends and acquaintances at the college over the years. It's difficult to leave, but I'm looking forward to the next chapter of adulthood and to see what comes next," end quote. Champion lives in Livingston with his wife, Donna. He expects to start retirement, enjoying time off before potential consulting or other part-time work. Since taking over as president, Champion has steered the college through fluctuations in student enrollment, a recession, and in 2018, the formulation of a $20 million capital project, which includes bringing the campus into compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, updating emergency and security systems, replacing important infrastructure, renovating space to host new programs, other energy-saving upgrades. Carly Ray Drummer, president of Quinebaug Valley Community College in Danielson, Connecticut, will succeed Champion. Drummer will be formally appointed July 8th. Read the full story in HudsonValley360.com. WNTN-TV is reporting the CDC and the FDA are investigating an outbreak of salmonella infections linked to contact with pig ear dog treats. The FDA says the treats can actually infect people as well as their pets, either from handling the treats directly or from coming into contact with a dog once it has become ill. The retailer, Pet Supplies Plus, has recalled bulk pig ear treats sold individually in open bins. The treats were distributed to Pet Supplies Plus stores in a variety of states, including New York. So far, 45 people in 13 states have been diagnosed with salmonella-related illness. Salmonella is usually associated with stomach issues and fever, but the infection can cause more serious symptoms, including arterial infections, endocarditis, arthritis, muscle pain, eye irritation, and urinary tract symptoms. Pet owners are being advised to discontinue use of the treats and discard them. More information is available at FDA.gov, and you can read the full story at News10.com. WSHU-FM is reporting a bill to allow automatic voter registration in New York failed during the final days of the legislative session. The measure went down because of a mistake in the language that would have inadvertently allowed undocumented residents to vote. Sponsors say it was an honest mistake, but the gaffe caused concern among Republican lawmakers. The bill would have made registering to vote an opt-out rather than an opt-in process. So when state residents would do business at a state agency, like the Department of Motor Vehicles, their names would be automatically sent to the local Board of Elections to be verified for whether they are eligible to vote in the next election. It is estimated that the change could register 1.5 million new voters statewide, and supporters believe it could improve the accuracy of voters' rolls. The bill passed the state Senate in June, but when it got to the Assembly, the Republicans discovered a typo that would have allowed non-citizens to vote. Susan Lerner, with the government reform group Common Cause, says it was, and I quote, "pure human error," end quote. Despite the failure of the automatic voter registration measure, the session this year saw voters' rights expanded. Beginning this fall, voters will have up to 10 days before Election Day to go to the polls for early voting. And lawmakers began the process of changing the state's constitution to allow mail-in balloting and same-day voter registration. Read the full story at WSHU.org. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day, and a nice weekend.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting ICRA, Catskill, Hudson. This is Maggie. I've swapped out for Shahi and William, and you were just listening to Feels Like Summer by Childish Gambino.
Thank you, Maggie. Kingston here. Just wanted to, given that William and Shahi did start us talking about trees in a very major way. I wanted to read a poem that was written by, so this book is called Listening to the Trees. It's social justice poetry by the students at the High School of Fashion Industries. And so I'd like to read a poem called If a Tree Falls by Dana Johnson. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a sound? If the man that cuts the tree denies his crime, does that make him innocent? Of course, the man is in power, so he ignores the cries of the other trees. Why is the man more important than the tree if the tree gives him what he needs to live? Do we put more emphasis on the life of one man killed by a fallen tree, or do we focus on the hundreds of trees taken by man? The trees cry and shout, but with all their might cannot escape their execution by man. A tree has no voice. That is what the trees realize. Day by day, a new tree falls, and their shouts and pleas are silenced by the man. Their branches swing violently, and leaves hang low, but no one hears them. The only one who can hear them is the man, who continues to execute them one by one, until the trees can only cower and shrink when the man arrives. And so the man continues his crime, and the shrinking trees can only weep silently. If a tree falls, and no one but the culprit hears it, does it make a sound? We believe what the man in power tells us, never listening to the trees. Their cries are constantly silenced, and we'll never know if the tree makes a sound when it falls.
Oof.
Kind of hits hard.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting it to either. For some reason, I don't know why.
I mean, I think there's sometimes an edge of, like, will this actually, you know, sometimes with social justice poetry, it's like, is it going to feel too didactic? Is it going to feel like...
Yeah.
That, but...
Yeah, I also feel like it was speaking a little bit more about, even if it wasn't the intention of the author, like, it definitely could speak about so many other things than just trees and environmental justice. And, you know, maybe it's because I grew up in the woods and trees were my only friends, but that's... but, you know.
Uh-huh. What did you get out of it, James, or anything?
I just appreciate how directly this person's calling out the way we are so centering of the human experience. Like, it's like why this era has been called the Anthropocene. It's like the impact of human consciousness, and it's kind of bizarre manifestation. But like, and like we actually live in an ecosystem defined by human impact, which is like, you know, what kind of really intense, you know? So just like appreciating this, you know, like naming, like, why is our life more valuable than the tree that sources us? Like this kind of base assumption.
Oxygen.
Right. Yeah, which brings us actually really nicely into this article that we were going to bring in to the conversation today, because the word shop's all about words and language.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an article that was written by Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is the founding director of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment through the SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry. And she'd written the book Braiding Sweetgrass, which a lot of people know. It's about indigenous wisdom. And this article is from Yes Magazine from spring 2015. And it's called It, Alternative Grammar in a New Language of Kinship. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this article because I think it'll kind of illuminate sort of, you know, the connection to what we were just talking about how we've kind of separated ourselves from the world. That opens with singing whales, talking trees, dancing bees, birds who make art, fish who navigate, plants who learn and remember. We are surrounded by intelligences other than our own, by feathered people and people with leaves, but we've forgotten. There are many forces arrayed to help us forget even the language we speak. And so she goes on to talk about how, you know, in particular, a lot of the boarding schools that Native people were forced to go through did a lot of stripping away of Native language that held an idea of the earth as being a living organism and a language that really hold that as sacred, where we've now sort of devolved into the use of it as the primary pronoun for things in the natural world that are not human. She says, in English, we speak of our beloved grandmother earth in exactly this way, as an it. Let me go back. So she says, imagine your grandmother standing at the stove in her apron and someone says, look, it's making soup. It has gray hair. We might snicker at such a mistake. At the same time, we might recoil. In English, we never refer to a person as it. Such a grammatical error would be a profound act of disrespect. It robs a person of selfhood and kinship, reducing a person to a thing. And yet in English, when we speak of our beloved grandmother earth in exactly that way, as it, the language allows no form of respect for the more than human beings with whom we share the earth. In English, a being is either a human or an it.
In English, a being is either a human or an it. However, I know an individual who prefers to use the pronoun it for themselves. And my understanding, I don't have a total understanding, but it seems to be a return to primitivism or primal sort of nature in terms of thinking about like how you wouldn't gender a wild animal in a way, right? And so
it's interesting.
Like it uses it with intention as a pronoun. And so I think there's a way that I think to be careful in terms of like saying that it has to be a dehumanization thing. And I'm really into the new pronouns that this person has.
Wait, I haven't read this. What?
Oh, so there's new sort of pronouns, but it's Kimmerer. Robin Wall Kimmerer is the author. And she's come up with the idea of that we need new language, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
Ki, yeah. K-I, mm-hmm. and as a plural, kin, K-I-N.
I only have a problem with kin because it means something very, very specific. But, I mean, but that's the, I don't actually have a problem. Like,
what do you mean in terms of it means something very, very specific? Like,
it means like people that believe they are not humans, sort of.
Oh, like other kin?
Like other, yeah, I think so. I do not have nearly enough knowledge on the subject to really elaborate, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think, heard. I think, like, honestly, if we're going to, I also don't know, like, the origin of those new pronouns, so.
I think they're Anishinaabe words.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
They're Native American-based words, is my understanding.
Well, right.
Right?
Yeah. No, actually, no. I mean, this is, so when she went and spoke with folks about the desire for this sort of language, in the context of, you know, she talks about, you know, English is a secular language, which words can be added to at will. But that's not so much true for Anishinaabe as a native language. That it's very ancient and sanct. Right. You know, there's a lot of sanctity about that language.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so he gave her a word that, like, refers to beings of the living earth. And I will just, like, probably butcher this, but, Bamata Ziyaki, I think. Mm-hmm. And she was like, great. And I don't think that's quite going to fix this, like, pronoun question I'm trying to resolve. Okay. So basically saying, you know, she said, we need a simple new English word to carry the meaning offered by this indigenous one. And so, and inspired by the grammar of animacy and with full recognition of the roots of it, we could hear a new pronoun, we might hear the new pronoun nestled in the part of the earth, like being ki.
Okay.
So ki is a pronoun to signify a being of the living earth, not he or she, but ki. So that when we speak of sugar maple, we may say, oh, that beautiful tree, ki is giving us sap again this spring. And then for the plural pronoun, we can use kin. So we can refer to birds and trees, not as things, but as our earthly relatives. On a crisp October morning, we can look up at the geese and say, look, kin are flying south for the winter. Come back soon.
Wow.
And she goes on to say that language is this tool for cultural transformation, that they are revolutionary pronouns. Words have power to shape our thoughts and our actions. On behalf of the living world, let us learn the grammar of animacy. We can keep it to speak of bulldozers and paperclips, but every time we say key, let our words affirm our respect and kinship with the more than human world. Let us speak of the beings of the earth as the kin that they are. So holding that piece that you were bringing, you know, about a reclaimed piece, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that person wants to be, like, put in the category of bulldozers and paperclips,
right?
Yeah. But I also feel like part of the reason that it's reclaiming that pronoun is because it's been attached to the world, like the rest, like it puts
larger,
right,
puts in the,
it puts it into the context of what has been called it. So it's sort of like I'm going to declare my sort of, like,
part
of that. I am part of that wild it that, you know, is better than the human things that we're, like, I'm going to disavow these, like, human pronouns we created that put us in that hierarchy. So I don't know that it would choose that pronoun absent of the fact that it was sort of used to, you know,
target
that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
I haven't spoken to it before, so.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're, what I was going to say is, in terms of what you're saying about that, like, sense of belonging and, like, connection to the earth, like, that's going to make a difference in, like, how you hold yourself walking through the world, of whether or not you care about the earth or not. And I think what was interesting for me is kind of referencing back to the prompt of what do you remember about the earth? It's, and I remember we weren't able to kind of follow up on it, but Shai was saying, you know, I don't think our earths are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Huh. Like having, like, I don't,
my goodness.
Right. So the connection that you can find with the earth and, like, where you are and ability to access that is going to make a difference on how you think about what the earth is actually made out of. So these pronouns feel really useful in that wholeness that, like, can be held.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Honestly, like, this conversation for me on so many different levels is so heavy as a queer person who questions gender and pronouns a lot, as a vegan, as a, you know, like, very avid supporter of environmentalism and whatnot. And it's all of this, like, it's an actual, there's so many layers of it that are so, like, you know, because, like, I actively try to speak, when I'm speaking about an animal, I will say they instead mm-hmm. of uh-huh. just, like, okay. you know, the dog is cool, it's whatever. I'll just say, yeah, your dog is so cool, like, what's their name?
Right.
And, right. you know, so it's like, there's that part of it, and then there's the other part of it of, like, when you think about...